Welcome to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate podcast, where we will discuss with industry experts on how to create wealth and build passive income from apartment buildings, self-storage, mobile home parks, and much more. Here is your host, Jonathan Way.
Welcome to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Way, and I'm the founder of Greystone Capital Group, my investment firm. If you're interested in passively investing with us, please visit greystonecapgroup.com and join our investor network. Okay, and now on to the show.
Hello, everyone. Today we have a wonderful guest, George Salas. He's a specialist in short-term rental, and I invite him today to kind of help us learn more about short-term rentals for those who are new, who never done it, and kind of understand also his background too. So welcome, George, to the show.
Hey, brother. Appreciate it, Jonathan. Thanks for having me here, man. Just excited to share, you know, some experiences, the great ones, the bad ones, and everything we've been going through, and just happy to share some nuggets and bring some value to your audience, brother. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thank you, brother. So tell me, George, tell a little about your background and then how you got into short-term rental.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So my journey started when I was six. I'll make it super brief, but I literally just came from my homeland, Peru. I moved to the U.S. At 15, but my journey started when I was six, right? My parents got a divorce while we were there, and I just spent a whole month with my dad. So like a lot of these memories came back, right? So, and I had to move from the capital of Lima to a small town, right? Small town of like 50,000 people at the time. And when I went back just now, it has 500,000 people now. So I grew up in an adobe house, and I was able to go down there and take a photo in front of this adobe house I grew up in, brother. Literally a week ago today. So I lived in this small little town. I grew up, and at the age of 15, my mother did what this online dating thing was back in, the 90s, right? Late 90s. And we moved over here, right? We moved to the U.S.
Okay.
And I was able to enter the world of, as I was here, right? I was learning English and the whole nine yards. Okay. I was able to enter the world of the service industry, right? So I started working as a waiter and as a bartender. And then I entered the world of the service industry. And then I went into hospitality / bars and nightclubs and events and all that sort of thing. So I created sort of a small group, and we started putting together events all over Houston, right? Where we would go to different venues and do one-off events and bring like 1,000 people, and then maybe do weekly events at different venues. So I did that for 7 years before I was approached. I was very good at it. It's one of the top three in my niche in Houston, Texas. So I did that for 7 years. And in 2013-ish, 2012, I was approached by a group to start a venue, to go and partner with these guys. And I had saved some money over the years, right? Mm-hmm. And over the course of like two and a half years from about 2013 until the beginning of 2015, or maybe like towards the end of 2015, we started investing in opening up a club. Right. And it was a nightclub. Right. It was a nightclub, ground up construction over a 10-year lease, and really cool concept. But I was a limited partner. And at that time, you know, I was under the impression that I was a decision maker, you know, very naive. This is like 7-8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when we really started the whole thing. Right. So I was new in business, and then I partnered up with this guy. Mm-hmm. And I put $410,000 collectively from, you know, my retirement account, which at that time I had already 100K, right? I built up, it was my life insurance account, right? Then I put 215 cash and 60,000 I took out of loans. I was very, very eager about this project, and the guy just seemed to be a awesome partner. But then this person started transitioning, right? And essentially, you know, like I didn't really find out who he truly was, and he showed his other face the closer it got to opening the venue, right? So we opened the venue, and I never saw a dollar, never saw a P&L for about a year and a half. And it was my fault. I definitely made some big mistakes of not doing enough due diligence, which is, I'm sure we can chat about that. Very, very important. So we ended up losing everything. Wow. A year and a half later, after we opened up the venue, I couldn't do anything because I was a limited partner. But a year and a half later, I only had say-so on the marketing, right? Because I was a marketer. So we shut down. They took away the keys from us. and I lost my $410,000, Jonathan.
Wow.
So
that's painful.
From there, I had to figure out exactly what I needed to do, right? Mm-hmm. It was very painful. I was in my apartment at the time. I didn't know what to do. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what am I going to do with myself?
Yeah.
Okay. And all of a sudden, I get this breakthrough. I'm like, I am better than this. Like, I could do this. Like, I'm not going to stay where I'm at, Jonathan, and just be this miserable, broke guy forever.
Yeah.
So I got a phone call a couple of days later from a friend of mine, and I'll always bring his name. You know, he's a Houston guy. His name is Brett down here. He's made a big impact in my life by really asking me to come into his world, right? And he called me to his flip at the time, and we sat down for 3 hours. I drove to his flip about 45 minutes from where I lived at the time. And I listened to him, and about 15 others of us were listening there. And he was just pounding the concept of, you are better than that. You can do this. You got to bust your ass. You've got to learn. You've got to do this. So that was my breakthrough, that I couldn't stay there. That was a breakthrough that came into me and it came out. The next morning, I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go into real estate. And I hadn't been in real estate. This is like the end of 2017, Jonathan, right? This is the end of 2017. So boom, that's what I did. I went to do courses. I went to conferences. I attended networking events, built relationship with everybody. I was helping, bringing value, not asking for anything in return, just helping to these people that have their networking events, right? Becoming really cool. And at the same time, learning one niche, right? My niche was short-term rentals. And at the same time, I was doing wholesaling, I was flipping, and I was learning real estate, right? So, but there was one thing that I wanted that was my big goal, Jonathan, and it was cash flow. So I took that the beginning of 2018 was when I did my first deal. And that first year, I ended up doing about $320,000 in gross revenue in between. My STR brought 119, my STR business, right? My short-term rental business, and then the rest were flips and wholesales. And that was the change. That was the huge breakthrough for me. 2018 is when I did all this. And from there on, the rest is history, right? We started building a business. We did really well. We continued to build it up. We had a hiccup during COVID, like everybody else. And today we're building out a fund. We've got an awesome portfolio, highly performing properties, and an amazing network. I get to hang out with people like you, Jonathan, right? And be an amazing podcast and bring value to people. So that in 8 minutes, that's a long story short.
Great. That's a wonderful story. I think that's amazing because everyone in their life has their moment of breakthrough. And, mine was when I decided I no longer do my CPA job, and I broke through that into real estate. And yours was when you actually lost a lot of money, which is a very, traumatic thing. I didn't lose $400,000, but I just decided to move from my corporate job into real estate because I think that's what my passion was. And for you, it was kind of good in a way, a make or break, because you had very little money and you had to go do that to make it, right?
So I had to... Well, first of all, I was naive when it came to investing, right? And I was investing in people, trusting them with my everything I've ever saved, right? And I didn't have enough knowledge. That was the thing, right? I didn't have enough knowledge and skills to be able to understand what I was doing. And that's what made the whole change, right? I'm going to go study and become an expert at this thing I failed. But if I would have never made this move, right, I could consider it the worst thing that ever happened to me, or it could be the best thing that ever happened to me, right? And for people listening out there, is not all bad things are bad. If you learn from them and you take the experience and you change it and make it into the best thing that ever happened to you, then you can find yourself where I'm at today, where you're at today, building something of value to our community and our audience and our investors and our clients, right? Yeah. That was a big change.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I'm glad that you went over them, and that's your catalyst that made you change and you got into short-term rental. So tell me, how did you, learn? You had a mentor, or how did you know about short-term rental?
Absolutely, man. I love to share this story. So comes the beginning of 2018, right? And I'm getting into real estate. I'm like, I read this one book, okay?
Okay.
The book was from Russell Brunson. It was his first book. Okay. Do you know which one it is?
No.
Okay. The book is called, well, it's the second book. I'm sorry. The book was called Expert Secrets. I read this book and I was like, I want to bring value to my audience. I want to become the expert and I want to be so good at this thing, right? At whatever it was at the time, I didn't know if it was short-term rentals, right? Yeah. It was, I thought it was wholesaling at first. Okay. And I want to bring value to my, and I want to give back by teaching my audience and by building such a big community that people are going to partner with me, invest with me, and I'm going to be able to help them as a coach, as a mentor, right? And that was my whole goal. That was my end in mind, my vision. So I read this book and I went all in to not short-term rentals yet. I went in all in into wholesaling. And I started wholesaling. That was the beginning of 2018. I was doing 4 or 5 flips. Then I was like, oh my God, this is so much work. And then that's when I was reading the book and then I found out about wholesaling and I was making bank. You know, like my first month in wholesaling was July of 18. And I made $62,000. I was like, oh my God, best day of my life.
Yeah.
So I went all into wholesaling. And then I realized that everybody and their mama was doing wholesaling. And I was teaching wholesaling and everybody wanted to be a wholesaler. So I lost a little bit of passion over it. And I found about short-term rentals the same month. That was April, a few months back. And I had been learning about short-term rentals all along as I was wholesaling, as I was doing this. And when I made that $62,000 in July of 18, I took most of it and I put down for my first 8 Airbnb apartment rental arbitrage. When I rented apartments at first, right? Now we own most of our properties. So almost all of them. And I did that. And that's how I found out about short-term rentals. I was sitting in one of the venues that I was working at an event in April of 18. As I was doing wholesaling, as I was doing flips, I was already full time. I was really grinding, right? The grind, because it's all day, every day. Okay. And I realized a friend of mine told me about, you know, renting an apartment for $1,000 and renting it out for $2,200 a month on average, right? And she was like, oh my God, this is awesome. And that's what I did. I said, I'm going to learn this thing and be really good at it. And that's when I started developing that vision about, like, I want to do short-term rentals. So I bought this course, right? And it was a course about apartment. And then it was a course about rental arbitrage, right? It wasn't about the concept we do now. And then the course was by Brian Page, right? He was the first guy that taught short-term rentals. And he still got the course, but it teaches you about renting apartments, subleasing apartments, right? Yeah. Which is not what we do anymore. But that's how I got started. And I took the course and I did everything that the course said to do.
And that's how I
learned, and that's how I built. And everything else was just mistakes of learning, because the course doesn't teach you everything, right?
So your first thought was you read a book or a course, and so you had that was your mentor in that essence. That was your mentor, and he taught you. You followed the steps in his book. So you were mentored by someone, by the course, basically.
Basically, yes. I was mentored by him, and that's how I got started. So at the end of 2018, I launched on December of 18. I launched my 10 apartments, which put me at 20 apartments on my first year. Okay. Wow. And then by the end of 2019, we had about $600,000 in gross revenue. Right. Yeah. And for our companies, and we had 2 companies at that time, right? Doing SDRs. We were not doing any owned ones. Maybe towards the end of 19, we were doing owned ones, but we were doing just rental arbitrage, right? And then we launched our first couple. We start turning these flips into short-term rentals. Anyway, so by the end of 2019, we had 20 apartments and $600,000 in gross revenue. And that was the beginning of the story.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, that's amazing how you, I guess what's amazing was early on, you knew about rental arbitrage, which I think my audience don't know what that is. I think it's what you talk to the owner and say, I want to lease this place out. If you're okay with it, I want to sublease it to short-term rentals, which I could arbitrage the money. Is that how you did it?
Absolutely. I would just go to landlords and negotiate these leases and lease it for 2 years minimum, right? Each apartment. And I would get 6, 5, 8 apartments at a time. So it was really easy to grow, right? And I would take my profits and reinvest into more units, you know, one at a time.
And I guess the owner was okay with you doing that. They weren't worried about, you know, people destroying the place and everything.
Well, we signed a long-term lease, and we essentially just took care of the unit even better than long-term tenants would, right? Because when you're leasing, so when you lease short-term, short-term guests actually expect you to have the place clean. So we made sure that we took care of the maintenance and we kept the place very in very good condition. So essentially the owner, the landlords are not, maybe at first, but they're essentially after you get one unit, maybe they'll give you more units if they're multifamily, you know, owners, but they'll trust you because we've got to keep the places clean and neat, right? It's, you know, okay. Tidy.
I think they trust you because you're doing a long-term lease, two-year lease. So instead of finding someone who moves out, they see you two-year lease. Hey, maybe it makes sense to give it to him because George can be long-term for us and he'll take care of the property and rent the short-term, but he'll handle that, not me. And I guess as long as he gets his, I guess, portion of his rent or something, he'll be happy.
Correct. And if you've got a good property, right, and you rent it out to somebody like us, right, then most for the most part, right, what landlords can have as an advantage is renting the property just for a little bit more. And we did that in a couple of properties, especially the ones that we really knew we could get like 4x our rent, maybe 5x, which we have currently. We have a couple of those, right? Yeah. That we get 4 or 5x our rent, and we have a couple that get 4 or 5x our mortgages, right? Yeah. Well, which is that sort of thing. So we can offer more, and the landlord can take more. So it's a win-win for everybody. Now you can't do that with every single one of them, right? Yeah. And you just got to be really careful, right? So
okay,
love it.
Okay, yeah, great. And tell me, So are you still acquiring short-term rentals right now, or what's your focus now?
Oh, absolutely, brother. Right now we're in 100% acquisition mode. Okay. So we love acquiring sub two. We're not doing lease arbitrage any longer because the industry has transitioned a little bit. We are buying in three different ways, right? We buy subject to the mortgage, which is a strategy where you take over people's payments. Right. And we usually don't go, you know, straight to sellers. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we have wholesalers, but the wholesalers bring the deals to us. Right. And we've got other connections. We've got connections that are, you know, wholesalers are national. We've got other connections who are wholesalers that connect us with the sellers. They don't do sub to themselves. We love the strategy. It's easy. We get to put very little cash down, sometimes nothing. Right. The last property I bought subject to, I put $2,500 down. Plus 925 in closing, 3,400 is a $400,000 property that makes me $5,000 a month. Okay.
Okay. So it's really great. Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
So we also rehab, Jonathan, right? We like to rehab. I'm not a fan of it, but if a deal presents itself and it's really good, great property with great potential, we'll rehab, we'll add the amenities, right? And essentially, you know, turn it into an SDR. And the last strategy we do, which we've got currently a property in Alvin, Texas, launching. It's a retail purchase. And the only time we'll buy retail is if it checks all the boxes. It's got to do at least 4x our mortgage, right? It's got to have all the amenities we need. It's got to be in a great location. It's got to have a beautiful property. It's got to check all the boxes.
Right?
Only if it does that, we'll buy retail. Now, that's our personal portfolio investment strategy and also our private equity fund strategy. Okay, so which is really cool. Like we've kind of taken the model of apartments, we've refined that. We're like, okay, well, this is not working as much as we like to. We hear some of the flips we're doing. We took the flips, we improved that, and now we just have homes. We have no apartments. We don't do any lease arbitrage. We're buying. We're in acquisition mode.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. Now, I love this subject too. That's a very great way to have a little cash and also make money. I guess so too. It's like a loan assumption, basically, right? You take over the sort of loan and then you own it, right? Is that how it works?
Yes. Not exactly taking over the loan, but more taking over the payments. And now the property's yours, but the mortgage, the debt stays in the seller's name. Okay. And then most people are going to be like, okay, how do you do that, George? If like no one will really do that, yes, they will. If you've got a seller that is in an awkward position, like they're behind on their payments, you can present a creative solution to the table and be able to negotiate where you take over the payments, they keep the loan, and you make the payment. And you essentially have an agreement with your seller that if you don't make the payments, they can take back the property with or without foreclosure, right? So we do it different ways. We essentially have agreements with them, but they would have to foreclose on our end, but we don't miss our payments, right? On our you know, subject twos. So just to break it down simple, subject two is a great strategy for acquiring at a very low cost, very low interest, very low risk, right? You don't have to put a lot of money. Sometimes these properties come, they're ready to go. Sell, buyer bought it a year ago, 2 years ago. They don't have a lot of equity. Sometimes they do, but we don't go for properties that we have to put a bunch of cash in. Sub twos are for very low cash, very low interest rate. So if it goes above 4%, we're very cautious, right? Interest rate. So we've got a particular niche in sub twos. We've got a niche in when we buy rehab, and then when we buy, you know, we've got a very, very solid buy box that has to meet all the criteria. We buy retail from the MLS.
Retail. And retail means just basically a regular Airbnb that's listed on MLS, basically, or a home, basically.
It didn't have to be an Airbnb. It doesn't need any prior income. We're buying a home right now. There's never been an Airbnb, but it was just perfect for us, right? So it's just a regular house on MLS, but it could be anywhere, right? And we do the homework, and we help our clients do the homework to make sure that they're buying in the proper communities that are not restricted, or if they do have restrictions, that they know how to apply for the permits. We teach them how to do all that and how to read them, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe one day I'll ask you, because I'm thinking of buying an Airbnb too, but I just had never done one before. So
brother, let's do it, man. So let me add something real quick, if that's okay.
Yes.
Anybody out there, if you're thinking about doing an SDR and you essentially don't know anything about SDR, don't just go for any property because you think it's going to make money. I made that mistake with a lot of my apartments. I thought they were in a great location, right? And I didn't know a lot of the other smaller things that you've got to go through to understand this business model. Okay.
Yeah.
And for you, bro, hit me up anytime. I'll be here to help. Right.
So, okay. But I guess give us one example. What do you think, like a common example that you learned on your ways? This didn't work out as a way I planned. So what do you think it was?
Okay. Perfect example. I rented this condo for $2,200. It was a three-story condo, about 1,500 square feet. It was in a great area in Houston, but it was, I think it was a 2-1. Okay. It had a bedroom downstairs, first floor. Then it had a living area. Then you went up and it had another bedroom. 2-1, right?
Yeah.
And I was renting it for $2,200, and I had no idea that it would only bring around $3,000. Great location, right? Great location. Yeah. We had a lot of issues with maintenance. So that was the biggest thing. And we had to like cut the lease. I had a really good relationship with the landlord at the time, right? And she let me out of the lease because it didn't work. That's one example. The other thing that, you know, the other metric that I suggest that I learned along the way is that I've got to have at least now a minimum of 20% of my purchase price, or 3 to 5x my rent. Okay.
3 to 5x your rent.
In revenue. Okay. 3 to 5x my rent monthly or yearly, whatever, right? In revenue. And at least 20% gross rent, which I call the gross rent multiplier of my purchase price or acquisition price. So if a property I'm buying is $500,000 and I'm buying it retail, my GRM, my gross rent multiplier, it's going to be 25%.
Okay.
So for example, I'm buying a $500,000 property right now, and we're estimating between 130 and 150. It's a $525,000 property. So I'm meeting my 25%. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So it has to be 25%. If I'm buying a sub two, it has to be between 18 and 20%, because sub twos, we're going to go find properties, but they're not going to meet all the boxes, because sub twos are harder to find. They're not going to have all the amenities we want. What we're looking for in a sub two is the same ratio, very similar ratio, a little lower. What we're looking for in a sub two that's going to make us win is the low payment.
Okay? The low payment.
The low monthly payment, because then your income, let's just say I have several sub twos that I'm paying less than $1,500 a month. Okay. So it's a 3 to 5x, and I'm making an average of $5,000 per sub two per month. Right. Yeah. So that is my 3x minimum, 3 to 5x, right? Yeah. 3 to 5x my mortgage payment, right? Or my rent. So what I look for in sub twos is low interest rate, low payment. What I look for in retail is completely different. right? I'm looking for more amenities because I've got the choice, right? I've got the ability to choose and go through each box, and I could just nitpick because there's thousands of properties on MLS, right? So I've got three different criteria, three different buy boxes, right? And they're three different business strategies. And we've got to look at them three different ways.
Yes.
Right. So
yes. Great. That's awesome, man. I'm glad you have different strategy and you're doing very well. Awesome, man. Well, how do you want to reach out to you? Want to talk to you, George? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Absolutely, brother. I've got a couple ways. Okay. So the main one, if you guys want to, if your audience wants to just watch my business model, just check out the presentation in my personal website, right behind me. It's georgesalas360.com. GeorgeSalas360.com. And there's a button right there that essentially has an icon called presentation. And then the first icon in there is my six-figure SDR presentation. That's what I can offer as value to your audience, Jonathan. And where anyone can connect with me. You can book a call, hang out, check out my social medias and see what I've been doing lately. So even my Airbnbs are on there.
I'm very happy for you, Jordan. I'm very happy you made a breakthrough moment and now you're on your way to growing your business. I'm very happy for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day. Appreciate
that. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For more information, you can find us online at www.graystonecapgroup.com. Check back weekly for new episodes. See you again next time.